Chapter 1. Dated August 16, 1862. Lone Jack, Jackson County, Missouri. The rebels had complete control of the little town of Lone Jack, which consisted of two stores, a blacksmith shop, a large frame building owned by Lucinda Cave, which had a large sign with Cave House printed in large letters hanging under the eave. The town had a few other businesses, including a post office, a saloon, and a few dilapidated shacks that people moved out of when the war came to Lone Jack. The Cave Hotel was the butt of a number of jokes because it was an anomaly. The big hotel was situated in the middle of the small town, and if you tried, you could most likely fit the entire month's supply of guests into it in one night. It seemed out of place in Lone Jack, especially now that there was only one person staying there. All the other guests had left for safer pastures. While the Rebs celebrated taking control of the town by drinking and carousing, unbeknownst to them, a large Union force was bivouacked in three separate fields, 2 miles north of them. The commanding officer separated his force that way, in case the rebels attacked one unit, then the other two could come to their aid. The war was taking its toll on Charles Longstreet. He was exhausted from lack of sleep, and he smelled like a dead fish because he hadn't taken a bath in a month. But none of the other soldiers complained because they smelled as bad. The one consolation they had was that the saloon was still open. Longstreet stood at the end of the bar by the window, enjoying a glass of good whiskey, not the moonshine he usually drank back home. He happened to glance out the window and he saw a rider riding like hell into town on a lathered horse at a full gallop. Upon reaching the saloon, the rider pulled the reins back hard, causing his horse to dig his hooves into the dirt, skidding to a halt. The rider leaped off the horse, tied it hurriedly to a post, and bounded into the saloon. He looked around and spotted Charlie standing at the bar, holding a drink in his hand. The rider ran over to him in an excited state. His eyes were open so wide that Charlie could see the whites surrounding his pupils from across the room. The man was breathing hard and talking fast, while at the same time trying to catch his breath. "Charlie, where did the quartermaster move his wagon to? We're in the middle of a hell of a skirmish with some bluebellies just north of here, and Major Forrester sent me back for ammunition. We're running mighty low, and he needs it now." Leaning with his back against the bar, Longstreet asked his friend, "Why didn't the Major send someone for the ammo earlier?" "He did. He sent Sturman for it, but he never returned. When he didn't come back, Major Forrester sent me to fetch the ammo, knowing I wouldn't run out on him like that other sumbitch did. Don't you worry, though. I'll meet up with that cowardly bastard, John Sturman, and when I do, he's a dead man." Charlie was aware of his friend's famous temper, and he also knew the honor his friend had. Maybe too much honor. Cole was fighting for a cause, something he believed in, and he wouldn't abide by no cowards. "Come on, Cole. I'll take you to the ammunition train, and we'll get you all the ammo you need." The quartermaster moved his train around the corner near the alley in the back. He didn't want to keep it out in the open. He was afraid that a lucky Yankee shot might hit it by accident and set it off. Not to say it can't happen where it is now, but back there, it's not that easy to hit. "Come on, we're wasting time." After loading the ammo, Cole tied his horse to the rear of the wagon and rode out. As he sped away, he turned to Longstreet and yelled, "I'll bring the ammo to the Major, and I'll see you later. Don't you get yourself killed until I get back. You hear?" Longstreet grinned as he waved to his friend. "Don't worry, Cole. I won't get myself killed. I'll wait till you get back." He shook his head and motioned to the bartender for another drink, smiling inwardly at what his friend had just said to him. Charles Longstreet was part of Colonel Tracy's 1600 Rebs, who were in Lone Jack, waiting for Colonel Joe Shelby and Colonels Ward Cockrell and John Coffey, who had entered Missouri in command of 100 men each and were heading to Lone Jack.